Well, again, thank you. I appreciate you guys coming in, especially having to come in and then leave right away or leave something. Like, it really does mean a lot to us. And you know, we really couldn't have done it without actually everybody in this room. Like, as I look around the room, everybody has done something to get us to where we are now.
Good.
So this just kind of goes with my message, which I'll get to in a little bit. But we can't do it alone. I've been saying this since we started back in May 31st, our first service. You know, in a gymnasium. And I said, we can't do this alone. And they're absolutely right. We've already connected with churches in our area. We've connected with the Catholic Church, the Nazarene Church, the Methodist Church. We're doing this together because we can't do it alone. Because the people that we're going to reach, they can't reach. The people that they're reaching, we can't reach. It's just the way it works. My friends are not their friends. And so we have to do this together. And so I do appreciate you guys coming in. We thank you from the bottom of our heart, celebrating with us. And we will try to get out by game time. Can we even put the game on? That'd be awesome. It is. But I do want to let you know of a couple events that we do have coming up. I would love to invite everyone. We are not just about this building, and that's for sure. The people that are already part of this know this. We've actually done more outside of, we've done a lot in this building the last couple weeks. Thank you so much. Everything you see here is because of the team, but we're actually about getting outside the building. So you can join us on beginning on Tuesday. We're going to be doing a prayer walk every single week, rain or shine. Rain or shine, snow, sleet. We've even had someone say, why not even a tornado? Because we should be praying against it. So not sure that's what we're going to do. But we are. We're going to meet at the PNC Bank, the parking lot right in the middle of town. Join us there. You won't see everyone there every week, but you'll see someone there every week. And we're going to just get out there and believe that we're going to pray. We've already had actually people walking and praying. And here's the funny thing. As you're walking and praying, they're seeing other people that are walking and praying.
Nice.
So this community is ready. And we're going to talk about that too. But join us 6 o'clock. Rain or shine on Tuesday. And then we have the Way Station right here in Columbiana we're already partnered with. We financially help them out. The giving that we give them once a month, which to us is just not that much, can feed 500 families. So we are truly blessed to be able to have what we have to help someone else. But on top of that, we don't just give financially. We also help out once a month. They give the food giveaway. So we get to see the food that's been given away, and then we get to help them clean up. You know, as everybody knows, after a big party, the cleanup is the worst. And so as they give away the food, somebody has to help clean that up, straighten up the shelves, restock whatever's left to get that ready so that when they get food in again. And those are on the fourth Thursday of the month. Sometimes it changes. You'll just have to follow along. And having said that, if you follow along on our social media, we list everything on there. It's on there somewhere. But on our social media, you can follow us on Facebook. We do have an Instagram. It's just connected, so it's the same on both. But you can follow along with what we're doing, where we're going, what it's going to be about. Everything has been pushed to get us to this moment. But now you're going to see us pushing out and doing things out. We're going to have things here as well. I'm hearing in the grapevine that there may be women's ministry like really soon. I don't know. Studies that want to happen, like we're talking like within the next month. So things are already beginning to happen. So follow us to get those, all that information. But we also know that while we appreciate the first offering, we know that we also need the finances. Let me say that a different way. We don't need it. Neither does the Lord. Let me just say, the Ohio ministry has blessed us truly. But even if they hadn't, we still could have done this because the Lord has provided everything.
That's right. That's right.
But we know that we have a chance that we get to partner with him when we give our tithes and offerings. We have a chance to partner in sowing those seeds. We are a testament to some of those seeds. But that's just so that we could take our seeds and sow them again. My daughter grew sunflowers, and those have seeds in them. But those seeds aren't meant just to stay in the sunflower. Our son would say it's to eat them, and you can definitely eat them. But it's to take those out and then plant those.
Right.
And so somebody has sown a seed into us, has sown the seed into Connection Church, so that we can take our seeds and now plant them everywhere else. So we're going to take up an offering here. And before we do, I just want to pray a prayer of thanks. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come into partnership with you as Connection Church. We want to do more. We want to see more. So we ask that everything that is given today, you multiply it so that we can do more for the kingdom. Because it's not about us. It's not about our church. It's not about the Assemblies of God. It's about your kingdom here in Columbiana, Columbiana County, and Northeast Ohio. So Lord, we just pray over the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So while they're doing that, I do have to say that Pastor Doug and Pastor Al,
yes, sir,
for 3 years, we stewed. You prayed the word wait, and then he picked up on it and said, wait, wait, wait. It was hard for us. It really was, because the Lord kept putting things in front of us. The Lord put people in front of us and places and things. The way station came to us before we even started in the ministry, the cohort. Like, we were already there, and they're like, well, hold on. We had people that were tithing to Connection before we had a bank account, before we knew what to do with the finances. They're like, whoa, hold on. You can't be doing that yet. Just wait. But he's absolutely right, because when we waited, we got to see the fruits of that. We got to see everything come to fruition. So we still don't like the word wait. I don't think anybody really does. But we saw what that did, and we are here and grateful for that. So we are going to enter into my series that we're going to be doing is through Nehemiah. And a lot of times Nehemiah is preached from an aspect of leadership. And it is. It has a lot of leadership qualities. And a lot of that we'll touch on as well over the next several weeks. But what I want to look at this is from a community standpoint. Because Nehemiah had a heart for his community when it really wasn't his community. You see, he came into Jerusalem. He had a burden for that. And so we're going to start off with a heart for the broken. Because it doesn't matter if you don't have that heart. You can go do it. You can do some great things. But that's just like kind of like throwing money at it. That's easy to do. Throw money at it. Get it done. That's good. It's done. I did my part. Great. But when you have a heart broken for something, he's absolutely right. The longer we waited, the more the burden was for Columbiana.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. I really can't. I grew up in East Palestine. So Columbiana was kind of a rival, sort of, kind of. Carrie grew up in Austintown. That was far removed. So while we did have conversations about possibly planting here in Columbiana or doing a church here in Columbiana with Pastor Doug in the office, it was a seed that was planted, yes, but it was the burden that was birthed out of that from us and from the Lord is the reason why we continued. Had a conversation with one of the mentors that I had, and he said, Aaron, I just want to be honest with you. I don't know if I'm going to plant you. I don't know if we're going to do this. If I told you today that we're not going to do this, what do you say to that? I said, we're going to do it anyway, because you didn't call us to plant. The Lord did. He was kind of just playing with me because he wanted to see where my heart truly was. That it was about the Lord, about us, and not somebody else's vision, not somebody else's dream that we were coming here to Columbiana. And it even continued to grow to where we come now and this is our home. This isn't just a place to have worship. This isn't just a place. This is home for us. Eventually we'll move here. Hopefully it doesn't get totally outpriced by then, but it's home for us. We love nothing but the feel. If you walk downtown, I love going downtown at night when it's dark. Because downtown, all the lights, it's a Hallmark movie. The lights are all on. They have music playing. And you just walk. I'm like, this is what it's about. I can't do that in Boardman. I can't walk down 224 and there's music playing, but it's different music, that's for sure. Turn it down. Actually, your music, we're okay. We're good. But I do want to read from Nehemiah, Nehemiah 1, 1 through 11. You'll find that as I go through, generally I'll preach from the NIV. It's a more universal, most people have that, but the words will be up here. Let me slide this over just a little bit. I'll be in somebody else's way. No, it doesn't matter. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani and I, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess that the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are in the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. Now I want to hit that last part real quick. He was a cupbearer, but had a servant for, or had a heart for something else. He had a position that he was to do, but had a heart to go do something else. And that's where we are today. I have a position. I'm a dean of students, as stressful as that is. But the heart for me right now is this community. My heart is that community. My heart is the people. It's not about the position. It's not about the titles. He was a cupbearer, but had a heart for the people. We were at a benefit this week, and many of you were at this benefit, and what an outpouring. You want to know what community's like? That was it. It was so great to see well over 750 people coming in. And I won't tell you the amount, but it was a large amount of money that they raised for one family. Because that's what it's about. It's not about the masses. It's not about giving money just to give money. It's about looking out for others that are around you and having a heart for it. But this is what struck me. Because he came in 1 week after having his heart surgery. He came into cheers of people that have revered him for things that he's done for this community, for things he's done in other communities. People travel from Pennsylvania just to come see him. I know Pennsylvania is just across the border from here. I get that. But they traveled in. Why? Because they have a heart for him. They have a heart for the community. And I got to serve. I got to serve sauce, I guess. I don't know. But for me, that was easy because I've done that a long time in my life. Pouring some sauce over, but it got to talk to people. And as I was talking to people, this was said. Somebody said to me that their husband had heart surgery too. And after their heart surgery, they were really emotional. Everything was emotional. And even when he cries watching movies, he blames it on the heart surgery. I don't know if that's true or not. But what I can say is that in those cases, in Pastor Jan that we celebrated, and in hers, their heart was broken, literally broken. And he became emotional. What if ours was the same way? What if our hearts are truly broken, where we become emotional? Instead of blaming others, we become emotional for what's happening in the world. Or we become emotional for what's happening in your community. Or let's just say your neighbor. Do we even know our neighbors anymore? And that's a whole nother message. See, if we become emotional like Nehemiah about Columbiana and the surrounding area, there's nothing we can't do. Because we already know that the Lord is here. We already know that the Lord has blessed what is here. And as long as we stay in His will, like we've talked about before, and we move with the Holy Spirit's guidance, there's nothing that can stop us. So I want to touch on a few points today as a family. And yes, we are all family here. I want to touch on a few points. First one is, let your heart break for what breaks God's heart. Again, I want to repeat, in Nehemiah it says, they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. That right away should be like, wow. If somebody tells you somebody's in trouble, what's your reaction? Is it just, oh, that's a shame? Or are you really feeling it? The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He sat down and wept. When was the last time you wept for something? I don't mean someone that, you know, like a big whatever. But truly for what's happening. The impact that's being made. Not the person, although we should be for the people, but what that means globally. See, those that survived, they're a remnant. There were pieces that were there. There are remnants right here in Columbiana. One thing I did find out is that as we walked around talking to people, there's a heart for the Lord here. A lot of them just don't know how to get plugged in. A lot of them don't know where to get plugged in. So I challenge everybody right now, whether you're from Columbiana, Boardman, Poland, or wherever, figure out who those people are and be a part of their lives, because they're looking for somewhere to be plugged in. There's a remnant there. Because Nehemiah is probably thinking about those that are surviving, feeling heartbroken for them as a people. The other thing is the wall of Jerusalem's broken down. Now, I did a little bit digging, and I could be a little bit off, because you know how nowadays AI has taken over everything and says whatever it wants to say. But as far as I figured, and I could be corrected later, please don't do it now. Parts of the wall were 22 feet wide and 25 feet tall. And those walls were broken down. Those aren't just some wall like this. You'll see some remnants of us trying to fix the walls around here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about impenetrable walls that were broken down. It's a loss of protection. They felt like they had nothing. Let me speak from Matthew 9:36 then. When he saw the crowds, he had what? Compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. This is one of the verses that led me to be a pastor, because it made me realize that there are sheep without a shepherd. And I knew I had that kind of heart, but it wasn't until I really dug into that, I'm like, that's where I'm supposed to be. But you don't have to be a pastor to have that heart. He had compassion on them because they were harassed. A lot of times we see harassed in this world and we're like, serves them right, because they are fill in the blank. Jesus saw the crowd and instantly he felt for them. It was about those in the crowd. He recognized right away that they were helpless. He recognized that they were in desperate need of a shepherd. He had compassion. The thing that connects us here is immediately after that, he told his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I thank you, few workers that have helped us out here. The harvest out there is plentiful. So we're asking you to come alongside of us and be a part of what we're doing here. But we want to have that heart for the community. Second thing is, prayer is the first step to community change. We're not here without prayer. Right. You're not here without prayer. Somebody has prayed for you before you even came in this building. You're not an accident. We've been praying for you. In Nehemiah, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. That was his first response. What's yours? Are we willing? Are we praying for what we want or what we need? Are we walking in the will of the Lord and praying for those around us, or praying for us for what we want to see in the world? Maybe it's a little bit of both. It's okay. I tell my kids at school this. Because I'm the dean of students, I take care of all the disciplinary issues. And so they come in, and I have two kids, and they've been fighting on the playground or whatever it is, and they sit down, and I'm like, are you mad? Yeah. Are you mad? Yeah. I said, just ask a question. One, you said yes, good. I said, are you allowed to be mad? And they're like, no. I'm like, yes, you are. You're allowed to be mad. You're allowed to be upset. You're not allowed to follow through with other consequences, though. You can have a little bit of both. It's okay. You're allowed to pray for things for you. You have things in your life that I have no clue. So please do that. But on top of that, don't just make it about yourself. Make it about the community. Make it about your neighbor. Make it about your family. Don't make that list just about you. My finances, I'm this, I'm going through everything. We're going to help you through that. We're going to pray you through that. Pray for yourself, yes. But also pray for others. Yeah, it's easy to complain. It's easy to look at the past and say that we did not cause things to happen. That's what these kids are like, well, I didn't do it. You may not have done that, but you did this. But we have a choice. We can either start blaming or we can start praying. Third thing is confession opens the door for renewal. This was powerful for me. Because we must not only confess our sins, but confess the sins of the people, but Nehemiah also confessed his sins. He took those sins on in the sense that he said, I'm going to be an intercessor. I'm going to pray for what they already did. See, this is many years later. This is not, he's praying for what was done in the past. And then he says, and I pray for my sins and my father's sins, because we must confess the sins. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer. Your servant is praying before you day and night, he says. For your servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins we, Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant. It's not they, not blaming anyone. It's like, I will take this on too. It's my fault as much as anyone else's. Daniel 9:4-5 says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. Not they did it. They did it. And they did it. Because once we get away from that, now we can come around our community and have compassion. Because it's not about me and blaming others. It's going somewhere. We're in the middle here. And we're going to meet there because we are in this together. In James, it says like this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This land needs healed. This community needs healed. America needs healed. But we can go down through every country in this world that needs healed. Ask the missionaries that are around us. In fact, we have a quick video.
Hey, good morning, Connection Church. This is Bob Stetz. My family and I are missionaries to Switzerland. We just wanted to say congratulations on starting a new church. This is an amazing thing, and you are a part of something that God is doing all over the world. Just congratulations so much. May God bless you on this day. We also wanted to say thank you for participating in missions with us from day one. And that is amazing. So, God bless you on this day. Thank you so much. May He do amazing things through you as you guys reach Columbiana. God bless. Bye-bye.
I'm going to invite the worship team up as I finish. We're partnering in this. Our heart is for this community, mm-hmm. but our heart is for the kingdom. I've had some people in some other circles, my friends, like, oh, you're partnering with another church? Yes. It's foreign to me because I don't see how you don't partner with somebody else. When we were in, and this is a couple churches ago, we were doing a fall retreat, and we're like, hey, let's ask the Catholic Church. They're right there. They're right in our backyard. They're like, oh, we don't do that with them. I'm like, why? Like, why not combine? To me, it's just like, this is what we do. It's almost like a party. That's just the way I am. Like, let's bring people in, which is also why we're Connection Church, because our heart is to connect people. See, Nehemiah didn't ignore the brokenness of his people. He allowed his heart to feel the hearts of the people in Jerusalem. I'm going to invite you to stand as I challenge you for a little bit. See, because what broken walls do you see in your family, friends, or community that you should be praying for, that you should have compassion for? How can you let compassion and not frustration shape your response? And also, when was the last time you actually prayed for your community with deep concern? So I challenge you, choose one specific person this week. Choose a family or a need in your own community to pray for every day this week, and just watch what the Lord will do. Pray like Nehemiah. Pray on your knees, weeping for those in need. Listen to the Lord to see what He would have you do next. Let us pray. Lord, give me eyes to see the brokenness around me and a heart that responds with compassion and prayer. Begin the work of rebuilding in me, through me, so that we can go out and do what You called us to do. Lord, I'm referencing Connection Church a lot because this is a celebration service, but we know that it's not about this church, this building, but it's about Your people all around us coming together as one and doing what it is that You're asked and called us to do. Lord, we're believing that out of those conversations that other churches will be planted, other missionaries will be sent, that we'll have pastors raised up, leaders raised up, and others actually going into the marketplace and also into government, where we can make an impact in Your name. Lord, we thank You for this gathering. We thank You to be able to celebrate today, because it's in Your mighty name that we pray. Amen. Amen.